Several years ago at a family reunion, one of my aunts, just in passing, there was nothing that I remember in the conversation that stirred her to make this statement, but she said, and I saw the look on her face, "I cannot stand to look at Japanese people." Another person there responded, "Why?" And she said, "Because I remember what they did to my brother in World War II. You see, my uncle is an MIA, assumed dead from Guadalcanal, from the conflict of the Guadalcanal. I remember looking at my aunt and thinking how personal and how real her anger, her loss, and her bitterness was, and how fresh it was on that particular day. I wondered how this anger affected her relationship with other people. Now, in the churches that I have pastored, I have had some very nice Japanese people as a part of my congregation. As a matter of fact, there have been some Vietnamese people that have been a valid part of the churches that I have served. And Germans. One lady in the last church at Wesley was a Hitler youth. And we talked about the ordeals that she went through as a young person. If you've ever been hurt or wronged by a person, you know how easy it is to stay angry, to grow bitter. Today we remember 9/11, a day that has changed America and continues to change us. Even today, our police persons are on high alert, and those in charge of security, because there is a perception that we are under attack. When I think about issues in our society that has to be worked out, there is no way that we can exclude the Muslim people. We do have to acknowledge that there is Al-Qaeda among us. We admit that we don't always understand their radical violence, their violence toward their own people or other people who do not happen to agree with their fanatical type of religion. As I watched the documentaries on 9/11 over the past few weeks, many times after seeing one of these on TV, I would ask myself, now how do I feel? How do I feel watching the plane run into the building over and over again? What is it doing to my insides as I see those twin towers burning. How do I feel toward others today? There are events that I remember vividly where I was, and 9/11 is one of those days. I remember where I was when the Challenger, when I found out the Challenger had exploded. Our President Kennedy had been assassinated. I equally remember as well the day that I was informed that the Berlin Wall was coming down. I was reading and was rather shocked to find how many years the poor German people have suffered under the hostilities and anger of others at what took place within their country. And only recently have they been given the right to heal. And I'm assuming that was when the Berlin Wall came down. I was in the military on 9/11. I had a uniform. And the president said, and I remember vividly, if you have a uniform, get ready to wear it. I did. I was ready to wear it. And if my country called, I was ready to go wherever she asked me to go. Now that we are 10 years post that traumatic day, my question this morning is, how do we let God work within us to heal? What are the walls that we have built? Are there walls that we have built against those individuals maybe that have wronged us? In preparation for this sermon, I went back and read sections and portions of different sermons on forgiveness. And over again, I would hear it or read about it being preached where a minister would say that the greatest need in the church is for forgiveness. That seems to be a contradictory statement, in the sense that we who are Christians totally affirm that we need God's forgiveness. I read in one sermon about two ladies who were discussing what had happened to them in their lives. They had been raped. And they talked about how good it felt and how freeing it was for them to lay down the burden and then the weight of unforgiveness and to move on with their lives. That had they not come to that place of forgiveness, that they could have never come to the place where they could begin to be effective members in their families and to move on in relationships with other people. As a young boy, living in Joanna. I remember my father coming home one day and he was rather distressed. My dad was a young Christian at that time. I am so glad that his stressing did not cause him to give up on his Christian faith. But I still can see the look in his eyes. And he even mentioned this in some of his sermons that he preached. How that he had been called to meet with the minister and they were making some nominations for positions in the church. And one of the fellows made mention of a position and another individual said, "Oh no, not him. Oh no, 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 you can't do that." So why? So, well, his father did my father a severe injustice, and I just can't forgive him. Reverend Nicholson talking, he was a bishop of the Pennsylvania Annual Conference, and he was talking about the church, and he said, when we bring people who are unredeemed into the environments of an unforgiven institution, we are creating the second estate that is worse than the first. Indeed, we need to be an institution of love and forgiveness. Christians should not be holding grudges. We need to let go of the anger and the bitterness. We who are sinners and need God's forgiveness also need to extend that forgiveness to others. I fully admit that we have to be diligent and alert for those who would cause us harm. But brothers and sisters, there comes a time when we begin to heal. It's inevitable that in society that all of us will be wronged at some point. But we do have a choice on how we respond. We do have a choice on how we're going to react to those when we are wronged. We can either choose bitterness or forgiveness. Oh, sometimes we'll say, "I can forgive, but I won't forget." Well, when God forgave you of your sin, not only did He forgive it, He forgot it. He placed your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. How would we like God to tell us upon our repentance that He will forgive, but He will not forget? We are humans. We will continue to remember certain things. Some events may be hard to put out of our minds. But we must do our best to treat people we say that we are forgiven, to forgive them. For that's exactly what God is doing for us. When we let go of our anger and our bitterness. And many times in talking with my children when they had a confrontation, I would look at them and I say, "Okay, all this anger and this bitterness and this frustration that you are carrying, who is it hurting? Is it hurting the person that you're angry and bitter with, or is it hurting you?" when I see the pains in our world that are caused by the opinions of others, and I see children suffering, my heart hurts. There's a lot of actions and convictions in this world that people have that I don't understand. But I am aware of how people who were called into a relationship by Jehovah never, in my understanding of history, ever put those actions into practice. And yet they always wanted God to forgive them and to restore them, but never doing what God asked them to do. Things may never be the way they were before, but we need to be a people of relationships. One of the members of this very church sent me a text the other day, and it went something like this: "Pastor, you don't know what it means to be building a house with Jews and Muslims and Christians and others working together side by side, all of us serving the same God. We have a job in front of us. We have responsibilities to be accomplished. We have relationships that have been damaged that need to be restored. We have some forgiveness to do because we have been forgiven. We cannot control all the things that happen to us, but we can choose our response. Somewhere, someday, somehow, restoration begins. I, like you, grieve over those who have died. I have a lot of friends listed on the wall that's in our town right now. But I also know about some of the healing that has taken place with others who fought in the Vietnam War. Have you ever heard it said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We owed a debt we could not pay. Jesus paid it all. In Bible school, a guest speaker was introduced to us, and this is what it was said. I would like to introduce to you Reverend Smith this morning. He won his neighbor to Christ. Unforgiveness can hinder your relationship with others. We learn in Scripture that not only is God concerned with our relationship with Him, He wants and expects us to be in a good relationship with each other. Amen.